under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
Trusted voices with solid teaching and talk. This is The Truth, 91.7 FM.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you jump on board. Join in the dialogue and discussion that we have right here each and every day on Let's Face the Issues. And lest I get involved and forget it, let me remind you that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. Right after a brief monologue, we'll open our telephone lines and invite you to call in. Join in the dialogue and discussion on the issues of the day. We're going to have a semi-open mic series today. We're talking about lawlessness abounding in the last days. Maybe you have read it and perhaps you have not. Matthew, the 24th chapter, Mark's Gospel, the 13th chapter, Luke's Gospel, the 21st chapter, all of those are eschatological prophetic texts talking about what will take place that will be the signs of the last days. We're in those signs, we're witnessing those signs coming at us rapid fire each and every day. Matthew, the 24th chapter, verses 5 and following, "And many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. All of these things are the beginning of sorrows. And then shall they," listen, "and then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations, and for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended," that's the scandal on stumble and fall, "many shall stumble and fall, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many." Verse 12 says, "And because iniquity," that is twisted, perverted sin, translated also lawlessness, "and because lawlessness shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold." And I could go on and on, but ladies and gentlemen, listen, lawlessness is abounding today. Every phase, every facet, just about every state that you look at, especially when you look at the socialist, Marxist, communist, democratic blue cities and states where they have the mindset, we're going to hide the offenders, we're going to defend those that are illegal jihadists and are invaders in our nation, we're going to take a stand against the law-abiding citizens. That's what you call calling right wrong and wrong right. That's also prophesied in Isaiah, the 5th chapter, in the, the 5th chapter in the 20th verse, right page, right column in my Bible. So, ladies and gentlemen, it's my opinion that there are events that are taking place today in America and around the globe that will tend to cause believers to somehow feel defeated, helpless, hopeless, and just consider lawlessness occurring, and we can do nothing about it. Listen, God's on the throne, God's in charge, and it is God's control that ultimately prevails. And listen very carefully, as Christians, conservatives, and patriots, we win in the end. The Lord Jesus Christ will eventually return and take the stand and valiantly destroy the enemies of God, the enemies of the church, the enemies of the Christian, and prevail. That's the end result. That's the end of the story. Just want to give you the end of the story before we get into the depth of the quagmire of the lawlessness that's taking place in America and what is happening, so that you, as a believer, as a conservative and Christian, will not seem to think that we are defeated and it's all hopeless, or with it we're helpless. We are not helpless. We are not hopeless, though it may appear that way. But may I say to you again, these are some of the signs that the Lord Jesus Christ enumerates and discusses with his disciples, that we might know that we're in the last of the last days. 2 Timothy the 3rd chapter says that we know that in the last days perilous times shall come. That's dark, dangerous, difficult, devastating, and may I say, deadly. And we're faced with those days today. So, ladies and gentlemen, to face the issues, let me remind you, we do so based on the authority, the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. It is God's truth book. Listen, from Genesis 1:1 through Revelation 22:21, we find the progressive revelation of God to man. We find in those chapters and verses and Bible books, Genesis through Revelation, we find that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We find that God is progressively laying out past, present, and future so that we as believers might live in victory and the realization of the recognition that it is God that's in charge, not we ourselves. So as we look at the issue and face the issues, let me remind you, we do not face the issues based on denominational dogma. We do not base our issues and our decision and discussion on them based on philosophical rhetoric. We do not base our discussion on the issues on political readiness or political, propaganda. We base it on the truth book. Jesus, speaking to his disciples in John 8:31-32, made a profound statement applicable today. If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. Listen to it carefully. If you continue in my word, that's the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. In Joshua, the first chapter, God told Joshua as he was taking up the reins after Moses had died, God told Joshua to chapter 1, verse 7, 8, and 9, to stay in the word, do not deviate to the left or the right, but stay right down the middle in the word of God. To meditate on the word, to study the word, to know the word, and allow the word to direct. And God told Joshua then, thou shalt be successful. Ladies and gentlemen, the progressive revelation of God to man, that we'll know God, should cause us to recognize that though we're in a quagmire, it seems, in our nation and internationally, we shouldn't toss up the towel and say, I quit, I surrender, we can't win. We win in the end. And it goes back to the truth book. If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed. And then you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Then in John 17:17, the scripture makes a dogmatic statement about the word. Thy word is truth. In John 14:6, Jesus says, I am truth. So if we look at the truth book and we study what the word of God says, it should cause encouragement and comfort, peace and strength for every believer under the sound of my voice today. Ladies and gentlemen, there are those that bifurcate truth and want to destroy truth. In fact, it was the secularist of yesteryear, George Orwell, in his dystopian novel entitled 1984, made a profound statement. He said, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. We know truth is truth, regardless of what side of the nation you live on, the left coast or the right coast. I'm looking at an article that says, Western society will be destroyed without a commitment to truth. It goes on to state, American institutions are suffering from a collapse and public support. Among those institutions, the worst affected are government, the press, and education. And ladies and gentlemen, those are the same things that we see and discuss each and every day. Keep in mind, God created the home, he created government, and he created the church, and in that order. And as we discuss these issues each and every day, we do so from a central biblicist viewpoint. What does the word of God say? But even in the midst of that, we find that there's pressure on our younger generation today, especially the millennials, 18 to 35-year-old age group, are torn in society, going to these universities and colleges that generally are prestigious with nothing but communist and socialist and Marxist professors, teaching them to hate God, to hate America, to hate the church, and hate anything that's called a republic, a constitutional republic that we live in. That's the reason we see the wildness on the campuses. This is the reason we see the chaos, confusion, and calamity out in the streets and in cities like Minneapolis, in the state of Minnesota, and others across America. It's simply because many of our young people today believe this. In fact, I'm looking at a headline. Most younger generations say there's no such thing as absolute truth. They, the younger generation, 18 to 35 years of age, say each person determines their own version of truth. But ladies and gentlemen, we must focus on truth. I'll go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus says, faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. That's my challenge each and every day right here on Let's Face the Issues. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of the day's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a full line of the Honda generators with a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about the power backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. Perhaps you say, how do I find that? It's right at the intersection of I-295 Beltway and Old St. Augustine Road. On the campus of Tools for Time, there's a 165-foot flagpole. Atop that flagpole flows the U.S. flag, Old Glory, 24-7. Find that flag in the flagpole. The base of that flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, our telephone number is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. I'm going to ask you some questions as we walk through the issue today. It is a semi-open mic where you can call in, ask a question about anything eschatological, prophetic, scripture. You can ask your questions about what's happening globally, internationally, around the world. For example, should President Trump go into Iran to try to salvage and save the lives of those that are being massacred by the Ayatollah and the henchman that's under his leadership? Should we continue to do as we did in Venezuela, where there's a change of guard, if you please? Should President Trump continue down the road of wanting to take over Greenland and let Greenland be a protective spot on the globe for America's future? Should churches speak up? Should Christians speak up? Should we sit back in silence, or should we say something? Should we ask our pastors to say something to inform us as to what's taking place in society today? Ladies and gentlemen, do you believe Christians are being persecuted? What is Christian persecution? The Bible is very, very clear that the Scripture says that Christians, if we serve the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be persecuted. But ladies and gentlemen, we can look at the lawlessness that's taking place in Minnesota today and understand a little bit of what's happening around the globe and nationally in particular. I'm looking at an article. Minneapolis ICE protesters are begging for civil war, and we need to take them seriously, this writer says. Read about two brief paragraphs, then we'll open our telephone lines. Liberal protesters have descended upon Minneapolis following the ICE shooting of Rene Good. And after viewing footage from the protest, this particular writer says, and we can't help but recognize that civil war vibes that's taking place. I don't take them seriously. I do take them seriously that they want violence, this writer says. I want to be very clear. I do take them seriously that they are trying to take down America from within, and that they do very much want a civil war in our nation. This writer says, over the weekend, you've gone more civil rest once again. You have all of these people putting their lives on the line to protest and obstruct to ICE agents who are there to round up criminals, like that's all that there is to do. They are there to cause problems for law enforcement officials who want out there to want them out to round up actual criminals, she says, et cetera, et cetera. So this lady is trying to play both ends against the middle. She says she sees that the people there are wanting civil disobedience, they're wanting a civil war, but at the same time she's agreeing that they need to get ICE out so that the police officers can prosecute criminals. Now, ladies and gentlemen, my question is, do you believe that in Minnesota, Minneapolis, Minnesota, or any of the other cities in Minnesota, do you believe that they really want, that the mayor of Minneapolis and others, do they really want, do you believe that the attorney general that is an Islamic jihadist himself, do you believe that there's any way that they really want ICE out so that they can patrol the streets and bring about justice in the city? The answer is unequivocally no. That's not what they're after. I believe the writer's first instinct here is that they're wanting that civil disobedience, civil unrest to bring about civil war in our nation. What are we doing? How should we respond to it? Do you believe that Trump is right in sending in more ICE agents? I do. Love to hear from you. What are your thoughts on that? 904-831-0917. I believe Jim is on the line. Jim, go ahead with the question or comment, please.
How are you, Dr. Youngblood?
Doing great. I pray that you are.
Doing well. I have a I have something that I've been thinking about, and it has an eschatological bearing on it, and I wanted your opinion or your biblical knowledge on this. China, obviously, with the fall of Venezuelan government, or the head of that government, was relying heavily upon their oil as well as the oil that's coming out of Iran. The hegemony that China displays, you know, they bring their children up in that we were a great dynasty, we were rulers of the world at one time, and we've got a plan to do this again. So with two sources of oil being in a flux right now, and they're worried about how they're going to fuel their nation, do you think that this is going to drive the kings of the East into cooperation with Gog and Magog, and then dissension later as Gog and Magog invades the Middle East, which is a everybody knows, which is a huge source of oil. How would you interpret Revelation or any of the other eschatology in reference to that thought? Well, I've been thinking about.
Well, Jim, you're absolutely, as some would call it, spot on. According to the book of the Revelation, chapter 9, the kings of the East, that is talking about China in particular, the ninth chapter, they are the only nation on the face of the globe that meets the qualifications of the identification and characteristics outlined in Revelation, the ninth chapter, having a 200 million man army. In fact, in a Reader's Digest that I have someplace in my stacks of archives, in 1965, it was China that bragged about, even at that time, having a 200 million man army. And to give our listeners an understanding of that, they could literally take man by man, line them up, and one falls and another walks over his back. One falls, another walks over his back. It can make a total human bridge from China to America in a heartbeat. That's a 200 million man army. And you're exactly right. They're dependent upon the oil, and now that that oil has been depleted as far as they're concerned, coming to them, I believe they will enter the battle, enter the engagement. Then in Revelation, the 16th chapter, we find that the way the kings made by crossing what would then be a dried up Euphrates River. Now, I've got the articles on that back in the late 60s, early 70s. They developed locks and dam system that they could shut the locks off, close the dam, so that it could dry the Euphrates River so that it could be crossable. I believe that'll take place in the future. I believe that is something that is in the distant future, not the near future, because what we see in the near future are the signs that will take place in the last days leading up to the rapture of the church and then the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. That return of Christ will be after the 7 years of tribulation. That 7 years of tribulation begins the moment that the church is raptured out. Then going back to the theme at hand that we're talking about, in the 11th chapter of Daniel, verses 40 and following, you find that rumblings out of the east, that's the Far East, talking about China, will come into play, and the Antichrist will be a little shaken because the Antichrist will recognize that someone is coming in that would be as powerful, if not more powerful, than he would be, and enter the fray, enter the battle of the last days. So yes, unequivocally, I believe, in fact, I believe we still have in the bookstore in stock some old books, brand new books, but old books title-wise. One of them, I believe, is entitled Oil, the Middle East, and the Tribulation. Oil, the Tribulation, the Middle East, something like that. But I believe, as one writer said it many years ago, that the final battle will be over oil in the world. And we understand that we're witnessing the makeup and the beginnings of those rumblings today, where right at this very moment, Russia, Iran, and China are now in the position of having their oil wells dried up, so to speak. Cuba also, I believe Cuba in the next 6 to 12 months will fall because it has no nation now that is able to furnish the oil that it needs to keep its modus operandi and its operation going. So, may I say to you, you're on target, and it brings to the forefront even more the fact that we're living in the last days. And my challenge today is, as we see these things coming about, we need not be fearful, need not be anxious, but according to Luke 21:28, we need to look up, lift up our heads, for our redemption draweth nigh. So, Jim, you're exactly right, brother. And I don't know about you, but it is a challenge and encouragement. And as I see these things happening, I rejoice, not because of the events, but because we see the hand of God that is showing his hand, that he's bringing about exactly what he said he would do in the last of the last days. So we need to be challenged as Christians, as conservatives, to carry out the work that God's called us to. And that work today, Jim, according to Ephesians 6 chapter, we need to put on the armament because we are in a war. We're in a battle. We need to know the enemy. We need to know how to armor up for that enemy and carry out the battle. Do not run. Do not hide. Do not sit, but stand and put on the armor and face the enemy each and every day. That enemy is alive and well in America today, trying to undermine, tear down, and destroy everything that God wants to do in your life and in my life. Jim, did that kind of summarize in an elongated fashion what you'd ask?
Yes, it did. Yeah, because I was under the understanding that the Russian or Gog or Magog was going to kind of trust the kings of the East, but then when you said something happened, that rumblings from the East there, and I could actually foresee that right now in modern times because Russia has a reserve of oil, and they used the Biden's administration of choking off American production to raise the price of oil, which then in turn financed the Russian ability to carry out military operations. So as I see it in history, or as in the current history, that as the price of oil goes lower, Russia hurts. But as the price of oil goes higher, Russia becomes wealthy. And
absolutely,
China, not having its own supply, is kind of stuck in the middle.
Well, China at this very moment, if they had a supply coming from America, if they had a supply coming from Iran and Venezuela and Russia and every other nation, they still would be very, very short on meeting the demands of its apparatus in the nation of China today. And by the way, one other little footnote to that, you know, Germany is one of the five nations that is led by Russia into the battle that ultimately will go into to attack and to overtake Israel, according to Ezekiel 38 and 39. So many have asked the question, how does Germany come into play? Germany right now, about 50%+ of their army, their military, and their apparatus of political movement controlled by Islamic jihadists. And secondly, Germany right now is tied to the apron strings of Russia simply because Russia supplies the majority of the oil that Germany needs. All Russia's got to do is cut that pipeline off, cut it loose, and part of that took place when the Russian underwater pipeline was severed, and I believe it was American sabotage, my personal opinion, that did that just a couple of years ago, and I believe that will eventually come to fruition with Germany having then to depend more on Russia for its survival, because because of the oil. It's an oil factor on a global basis that I believe is making the churning the wheels, bringing about these last days. But there's one little footnote, Jim, that I'll leave with you to ponder. If all of the oil on the globe somehow, some way is shut down, if we have an EMP, electronic magnetic pulse, go off in the outer space and it shuts everything down that's electrical, we cannot pump oil, cannot pump gas, cannot have a cell telephone, lights will be out. These ones that are specialty on that area say that we go back to the 1700s in America. If that were to take place, we'd have no mechanism, jet airplanes, drones, or anything else. This is the reason I believe we see in Ezekiel 38 and 39, the battles will be on horseback. Horseback. That should cause us to sit up and think. And that's exactly what we see in the Ezekiel 38 and 39 text. So as we see these things coming about, some of the things we see darkly, some of the things we see is it's very, very clear. Other things we see is they're coming together day by day. But I'm thankful to know that God is on the throne. He is still in control. And I believe he is allowing us, we as Christians and conservatives, to make a decision to serve him, volitionally serve him and honor him, be in our churches, submit and surrender to his lordship, or to make a decision volitionally that we're not going to serve him, we're going to depend on man, we're going to depend on government and not on God. I believe the challenge is today for Christians and conservatives to stand up, wake up, speak up, realize we're in a battle. The Apostle Paul, nearing his death, he said, "I have fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. I've finished my course." So it is a fight that we're in today, and that battle is between good and evil. It is between Satan and the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Jim, brother, thank you so much for your call, and
thank
God
you,
bless
sir.
You as we keep looking up. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. The question is today, is the issue we're talking about, lawlessness abounding in the last days. And the side question, if you please, for our open mic, what are your thoughts, what are your questions about prophecy and the eschatological future of the world, and especially talking about America? Should President Trump go into Iran? Should we go in gangbusters and wipe out the enemy? Should we go in and remove the Ayatollah? Someone has said, and I've read two articles just in the past couple of days, that the Ayatollah is in hiding. Don't know whether he's in hiding in Iran, if he's in hiding in Russia. Russia are the bed buddies, if you please, for the warriors, if you look at it that way, those that are bringing about civil disobedience because of the Islamic jihadists and the terrorism in America and around the globe. That being said, we understand that the Ayatollahs are in a real good position of escaping, if they please, going to Russia to be in hiding. But we need to recognize, ladies and gentlemen, that these things are coming about because God's Word said it would come about, and we're witnessing those things happening each and every day. Should citizens, ladies and gentlemen, in Minnesota, should citizens in any city across America be obedient to law and order when ICE agents say stop, stop, when they say get out of the car, get out of the car, or should there be rebellion against it? I'm looking at an article in relationship to what is taking place in New York even now, where ICE agents have gone in on an illegal invader that's there. The headline says, "Outraged Mandami demands release of Venezuelan worker from New York City Council." There's a city council worker in New York City that is an illegal invader. He's from Venezuela, and he's been plucked up by the ICE agents. And here's Mandami. I'll read a portion. Socialist Democrat Mayor Zohran Mandani called for the immediate release of an illegal alien who was detained by federal immigration officials while he was trying to complete a routine immigration appointment. 53-year-old Rafael is originally from Venezuela but was working as a data analyst at New York City Hall before he was detained. Quote, "I'm outraged to hear that a New York City Council employee was detained by Nassau County by federal immigration officials at a routine immigration appointment," the mayor wrote on his social media. The mayor said this, "This is an assault on our democracy. It's an assault on our city. It's an assault on our values. I'm calling for the immediate release and will continue to monitor the situation," end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't care where the invader comes from. I don't care where he's working or what he's doing. If he's here illegally, he needs to be plucked up and removed. What say you? What are your thoughts on that? should President Trump continue to send in more federal agents as he has? He sent in another 1,000 into Minnesota. What should we do? How should we respond? We're looking at lawlessness abounding in our nation. I believe as Christians, God is saying, sit up, look up, listen up, allow me to give comfort and strength and peace and victory in the face of the enemy. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take the top of the hour news break right after the news. We'll be right back as we continue to face the issues. Hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back.
With Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.
WTRJ Orange Park.